Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to stick around afterwards, Don and I are going to have a race. It's good to be here. It's good for you to be here. I was thinking, as before we started, that I can remember years ago with Frank Monaco that there used to be gospel meetings that lasted for a long period of time. And we'd be here every night for a week. And before that, there was 2 weeks. And people would come every night. And we enjoyed the fellowship. And then I watched it as it moved down to we have 3-day meetings. And then I finally see that we've come down to 1 meeting a week and people can't even make it to Bible study. And that's sad. My computer is messed up. Well, it's got things out of order. It doesn't show here like it usually does. So anyway, we're going to start, and we're going to dead to law and alive to Christ. What a powerful thing to think about. Many people think that the law is dead. No, the law is dead, not dead. We died to law. You and I are dead to law. A Christian is dead to law. In other words, the law is not what's going to determine how we get to heaven. But the grace of God is, and our faith in the grace of God. I'm going to have to read on here because I can't read on mine. So in Romans 7, 1 through 6, or do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. For the married woman is bound by the law to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is alive and she gives herself to another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress if she gives herself to another man. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you also were put to death in regard to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might belong to one another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For while we were in the flesh, the passions which were brought to light by the law were at work in the parts of our body to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. When we're reading this, I want us to understand. That the law of God stands before man, it stands in two positions. And that must be understood if man wishes to secure his peace in this life. I'm sorry that I'm having trouble because this thing is in the presenter's view and I don't know how to get it out of there. Do you know how to get it out of there? Okay. The law will dominate a man only as long as he lives. We need to get that first in the lesson, that as long as a man lives, and law is going to dominate him. Therefore, a man has to die to the law in order for him to live. You cannot live by law, and that is, we're going to see why in just a little bit, but law dominates over a man as long as he lives. This is why the Bible says that we are to die in Christ. We are to die in Christ, and if we die in Christ, then all of a sudden the whole law changes for us. We die to the law. So believers die to the law, and when we say that, we mean that that law is not what is going to save us anymore. We are going to follow some kind of law, but it is not the law of the Ten Commandments. It's not the law of the Old Testament. It's not that law. But we are going to be freed from that law completely. And by the way, this is not talking about just the law of Moses. Any law God is releasing you from. I want us to get that in our mind. Any law God is releasing us from that, and we die to that law. And the law is alive to those controlled by the sinful nature. In other words, you are sinning whenever you go against that law in the Old Testament. And you go against the law that you find in Romans 2, where he says that we're doing some of the very things as Gentiles that they did in the Jewish law, and so it became a law for them in their conscience. So all of that law is done away whenever we obey the gospel of Christ. And the law is inactivated by conversion. When we are converted, and being converted means that that is when we have obeyed the Lord and finally are baptized into Jesus Christ. When we are converted or regenerated, either way you want to put it, when we are in that, all of a sudden, in that conversion, law is inactivated, and that is not what we're going to be judged by, and we're not going to live really by that. We're going to live as John has taught us before. We're going to live above the law. And we're going to see this as we go along. This is any law given for men. God says you are dead to that law, and you don't have to worry about that law because you have died to it. The two marriages illustrating the law and man. Number one, marriage is being married to the law. Do you remember the Jews, how they lived? They actually married the law, if you would. That is what dictated their life. Their life was dictated by the law, and God had said, this is the law, and a law is only given, and remember this, a law is only given to a lawbreaker. Did that make sense? A law is only given to a lawbreaker. And Paul says you died to the law whenever you became obedient to the faith. And then there's a marriage, and you're married to Jesus Christ. So when I am married to Christ, and when we talk about marriage, we're talking really about being, engaged. I wish I hadn't even brought it up. It was on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, you are married to Christ, even though we're not living in the marriage yet, because that will happen when we go to heaven. But we are engaged to Christ, and that becomes his wife at the time. Betrothed is the word I wanted. We're betrothed to Christ, and when the only way you can get out of a betrothal is by a divorce. So you are married to Christ, but you haven't moved in to living in Christ fully until we are resurrected. The divorce from the law, then you are divorced from the law. Here you're dead to the law. Either way, we divorce ourselves from the law, because God says that is not controlling factor in your life anymore. And everybody says, well, that's confusing. I thought we lived by the law. No, we do not. In Romans 7:4, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you also were put to death in regard to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. So I want us to keep that passage in mind. And the believer is no longer under the law and its accusing fingertip. We no longer live in guilt and shame. That's over. Before, we were afraid to be around people because we were guilty, and we were certainly afraid of God in the sense that we knew we had done so much wrong. And God had pointed out how wrong we had been, that our thinking from youth up was evil. And God says, now you don't have to be ashamed anymore because your sins have been forgiven. And if your sins are forgiven, you're not ashamed anymore. And the condemnation and punishment, we don't have to worry about where we're going when we die. I take great relief in that as Frank passes away, that he is living and he's happy. He's happy where he's at. And he wouldn't want to come back if he got the chance. And we're not afraid of the condemnation and punishment or discouragement and frustration. Do you realize how frustrating it is when you want to get away from your conscience and you can't? And then you find a passage that says, you know what, when you were baptized, it's the answer of a good conscience. All of a sudden, we have a good conscience. And that's 1 Peter 3:21. And tension and pressure. Boy, I'll tell you, you know, there's several of us here. Stephen Kirk and Robbie back there and me, we all put ourselves under a pressure that we shouldn't be put under. We worry too much about ourselves. We worry too much about our health. We worry about that. Take that tension and pressure and give it to the Lord. And that's what he's teaching all the way through. And then the sense of failure and unworthiness. God says you're not worthy, but I've chose you anyway, and therefore I've made you worthy. We're worthy because we're in Jesus Christ. And if we're in Jesus Christ, we're okay. And then the sense of disappointment. I'm not disappointed anymore. I have come to the place that I'm with the Lord, and therefore I'm okay. The believer is slain or put to death in Christ. Do you remember we have been studying that? Whenever you are baptized, we are baptized into Christ. That's number one. We are baptized into his death, and we're baptized into our death. The old man being the desires of the flesh and living after the desires of the flesh, that's taken away. We no longer are guided by that. We are guided by the Word of God, and we're guided in a way that is beautiful. The law has nothing to say to a dead man. Have you ever went to where a dead person was laying? And you look at that dead person, you say, you know what? You're not looking too good today. And do you know what they do? They just lay there. And you say, well, what do you think about that? And they don't even answer you. The dead man is dead to the law. That law has no effect on him anymore. Why? He has died to it. If you've died to something, then that cannot frustrate you anymore. The believer's death in Christ is vicarious. That is, he died for us. And he dies in Christ. So when I'm in Christ, I'm dead to the world, I'm dead to the law, I'm dead to me, I'm dead to that. That's what the Apostle Paul meant whenever he said that it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. We are living, and we are living showing Christ in our life. And then when a man believes in Christ's death, God takes that man's belief and counts him as having died in Christ. When you believe in Christ, and that is obedient faith we're talking about, it's there that God says, now you have shared in the death of Christ, and you have shared in his resurrection, but you left something behind. What was buried in that baptism was your old life. That old life is gone. You now are in the right position. So remember, this happens in obedient faith in baptism. If you hear and don't know the order of that, the order is very simple. First, you have to hear the word of God. Then you have to believe the word of God and believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, and you have to decide that you're going to make him the Lord of your life. You have to repent of your sins. That is, you're going to turn the steering wheel over to God. Instead of you directing your life, he's going to direct your life through the word. And then you have to confess Christ, and then you have to be baptized for the remission of sins. And people say, well, you don't have to be baptized. The Bible says you do. And then, therefore, the believer being dead in Christ is freed from the law, from its demands and guilt and punishment. Now let me tell you, if you have to get back under the Ten Commandments, if you have to get back under law, it means that you're not in the place God wants you to be. If I'm having to use a law, let me give you an example. If I have to use a law to not forsake the assembling of the saints together, and I have to come because I just have to come, you're not where God wants you. It's when you love coming that you're the place God wants you. The believer is freed by the body of Christ, that is, by his slain body or by his death. Christ redeemed the believer from the law. In other words, he says, you belong to God, and I have paid the price for you, and now you are coming back, and you're going to be a part of me, and God is looking at Christ, looking at us being in Christ, and therefore we are safe. He died, and he became a curse for us. I want you to see what it is. God said that everyone that hangs on a tree, in Galatians 3:10, for all who are of works of the law are under a curse. Can you get that? All who are under the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to do them. Now, I want you to go back in your mind for just a minute. Before you became a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, and you're trying to live by the law, how many of you ever succeeded in doing it perfectly? Nobody? Well, if you didn't do it perfectly, then you are cursed. And that's what he wants us to understand. You have been put under a curse, and that curse is you're under the wrath of God. God is upset at you. You are under his wrath, and we are going to obey the gospel to get away from the wrath of God and come into the favor of God. He says in Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. God says you're taking the punishment for every sin of every person that ever lived. I'm putting that curse upon you, and you are paying the price. And if they will accept what you have done and accept becoming obedient, then they're going to get away from the curse because you have taken the curse for them. It is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, and he hung on that tree suspended between heaven and earth, and therefore your sins were taken care of on that when you came into Christ. God says every sin that anybody has ever committed was put upon Christ as far as the punishment, as far as the guilt, as far as all of that. God put it up on Christ for you, and all we have to do is reach out and get it to become free. He did it also by his blood. And when we say his blood, we mean that that is so important. In Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood. Now, if it was his blood, I didn't have to shed mine. We are redeemed through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins or wrongdoings, according to the riches of his grace. So God says, my grace is reaching forward and I'm asking you to come to me. I want you to come to me. The only way through me, Jesus said, is you have to come through Christ to come to the Father. So when I get into Christ, then I am coming and I am part of God's child. I am a part of Jesus Christ. In fact, we are the body of Christ. So the blood of Christ is something that I don't care if you've committed 10,000 sins or you've committed one. It takes the same blood to cleanse you of any of it. And what cleanses you of that one cleanses you of all. You are free from the things that you have done wrong in the past. And he did it by his flesh. In Ephesians 2:15, by abolishing in his flesh the hostility, which is in the law composed of commandments expressed in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two one new person, in this way establishing peace. What's he talking about? He's talking about over here's the Gentiles and over here's the Jews. And he says what has happened is when Jesus died upon the cross, he took away the hostility. The Jews had a written law that they were God's people. The Gentiles did not have that written law. The two of them hated each other. You're special by God and you're nothing by God. There's the idea that they got. It wasn't true. But God says, I want now to bring the two of you together. It's like bringing a lion and a lamb together. I'm going to bring the two of you together, and you are going to love each other, and you're going to work together, and you're going to take away all the prejudice. You're going to take away all these things that separated you before because of what I've done. And he did it by the cross. That's the one place that we have to go to get forgiveness. You've got to go to the cross, and it's level at the foot of the cross. That he might reconcile them, that's Jew and Gentile, both in one body, that is the body of Christ, which is the church, by it having put to death the hostility. We no longer are enemies. There is no longer the one favored over here. God has put his love in his son. And when we get into his son, we get into his love. Understood? Christ is the sin bearer. Now, the Bible says he became sin for us. But really that means the sin bearer. Jesus had no sin. In 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself brought our sins in his body up on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. So he says Christ's death on the cross did something that when you get into him, that all of a sudden, all of that, you are made righteous. But I'm not righteous, God. I made you righteous. You made me righteous when I'm not really righteous. Yes, I have taken and I have justified the ungodly, which you are, and you now stand justified before me because Christ paid it for you. Oh, what a marvelous story. Isn't that a marvelous story? Christ paid it for you. In 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered for sins once for all time. You remember the Old Testament? They had to continually come before God with their sins over and over and over. Every year it brought up. It didn't really forgive your sins. That bull, that calf, that lamb, it didn't really forgive your sin. But the Lamb of God, which is Christ, when he died, one time, only one time, and you stand justified. The just for the unjust. You know, I've done this with many of you. I want to just, for a moment, pretend like you are the judge and you're known as a righteous judge. And here John is, he's a poor guy, he's lost his job and he doesn't have any money and he's just poor, and Angela's over there and she's got those little kids and she's saying, "But we're hungry, John, we're hungry." And John says, "Well, I need to get some food for them." And the law says that if you steal, you die. And John sees some cookies there at the bakery and he goes in and he grabs those cookies. And he gets caught. And he's standing before the judge. And he says, "Judge, I'll tell you what. If I get a chance, I'll pay that back 1,000 times. But Angela was hungry and the kids was hungry. And I stole those cookies. Can you forgive me?" And what's your answer as the judge? For him to remain just, he has to demand the death penalty. And God says, back over in Ezekiel, you remember, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And God says, "I'm sending a substitute in." And that substitute is going to spare your life. And I can be just and justify you through him. Boy, that is powerful. Angela gets to eat the cookies. In 1 Peter 3, verse 18, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all time, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." I love that, bringing us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Christ came to fulfill the law. Therefore, he and the commandments include not only the law, but much more. Christ lives the very spirit of the law. In other words, when the law said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," Jesus says that goes even further. If you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. You mean this is deeper? Yes. Why is it deeper? We're going to see that before we're through, and I'm going to try to finish by time. The believer is freed from the law so that he might serve in newness of spirit not in the oldness of the letter. So, the oldness of the letter refers to the law. It is written law that a man tries to keep in order to please God. But I want you to note, the law was the old way for man to live. It is no longer the way for a man to approach God. I'm not trying to please God as such in a way to persuade him to save me. I've been saved. I'm there because I love the Lord. The newness of the Spirit can refer to either the Holy Spirit or our spirit. I choose to think it's our spirit is the newness of spirit. We live above the law. Now watch this. Watch this closely. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We have been freed in order to love with every ounce of love we can for other people and God. In fact, that is the great commandment, that we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and love the neighbor as yourself. He said every other law is fit into that. So now I look and I do things because I love people. The believer no longer serves God in a legal and slavish spirit that dooms him to discouragement and defeat. He is living above the law in such a way that the young man that came in today, Jesus, is that correct? Jesus, I want the best for him that can be gotten. I want him to rise to the very top. I want him to be so close to God that we've put John, pushed him away, and are on Jesus' breast. And whenever I approach that way, and I truly love the people that I'm around, even my neighbors, I want them to quit living that way, and I want them to receive the very best from God. When you live that way, it takes all the hate out. It takes all the prejudice out. And he says, we could go through each of those. Do you realize when you look at the world, they're not happy? They don't have any joy. And to be gentle in all of those. So he serves God in the new spirit of love, joy, peace, forgiveness, and acceptance. That's how we serve God. That's how we serve one another. We have done what Christ did. He gave himself on the cross, and he, as John said this morning, emptied himself. We are to empty ourselves. Do you ever hear him say, you know, he's just full of himself? We empty ourselves. And when we put down, he emptied himself of, we've gone too far in the scripture. He emptied himself. That's what he did. And then the last thing is bearing fruit. He said, you're going to bear fruit. How do I do that? I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it will be done. So if I abide in Christ, when I'm put in Christ, and he points out in John 17 that if you abide in his word and his word abides in you, that will be, that is how I keep Christ in me. That's how I keep above the law. That is how if I just really let him have his way with me, then I'm safe. And we don't live by a legal rule. We live by a spiritual rule that just fills your life full. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you can do that right now. The Baptist, he's ready. In fact, he said this morning it was 100 and something. 110. So if you want a hot bath, Baptist, we're ready for it. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?